1366 WFAN.
Alrighty, we are back. Hour number three. Richard Neer here until 10 o'clock on the fan. And, of course, your phone calls will be taken a little bit later on this hour. We've got Anthony Gallo at the controls. But right now, we're a little change of pace. We've been talking about Stanton all morning long. And precious few football calls, except for Ira, who's excited about his Jets in Denver. But there is another team in town that's had a very active couple of weeks now. The Paul Dottino Report, brought to you by New York Community Bank, online at mynycb.com. By United Healthcare and their Oxford products, by Remax, by 2x London. Visit the engagement experts at Americana Manhasset, East Hampton, and Westfield World Trade Center. And by CSEA Local 830, we work for you. And Mr. Dottino works for us. Hey, Paul, how you doing?
I'm well, Richard. How are you? And by the way, they do say we're supposed to get, what, 3 inches of snow today? Talking baseball in snowy conditions? I don't know. That's just not going well for me.
I know. Well, you're a football guy. It's hot stuff.
I am a football guy.
Yeah. Well, there's certainly a lot of football to talk about. I have to tell you, Paul, I can't be much more disappointed in the Giants and the way they've handled this thing than I am over the last couple of weeks. And, you know, you and I talked last week about it. I mean, firing the coach on Monday, I don't get it. I don't get starting Eli this week. I think the whole thing has just been bungled right from the start. And I hate to say it, but you got to point to the top here. I think that John Mara, who claims, and I believe him, that he was the impetus behind getting a look at the young quarterbacks in the first place, just didn't do the right thing here.
Well, John admitted that he had dropped the ball and could have stopped the situation from happening as it unfolded when you know Eli Manning declined the plan that Ben McAdoo had presented to him. I don't think there's any question about that. If John could do it again, I'm sure he would, and do it over differently. In the 35 years I've covered this team, I think it's probably the most disappointed and most heartbroken I've seen John Mara about one of his own decisions. So I that part I agree with you on. I totally am in the opposite court, though, on the rest of your point. I do think the Giants did the one and only thing they could do, and I think this past week they handled everything the only way they could to start cleaning up what basically has been a muddy situation.
Well, but doesn't the fact remain that you want to see Davis Webb? You're going to get a very high draft pick. We know that. And don't you want to see a little bit of him in meaningful snaps? You know, you and I talked about this week. And by starting Eli here, all right, you're going to please the crowd. People in the crowd are going to be happy about that. Of course, Eli comes out of this, you know, as a bigger name and a hero than he did before even. But the fact remains, you know, you got to start planning for next year. This year is gone.
Yeah, but next year there's a real possibility that Eli Manning is the starting quarterback in 2018. Mm-hmm. We've discussed that as well. Mm-hmm. Davis Webb, in my mind, I still believe this, Davis Webb, when he was taken in the draft, in my mind, the timetable for him was he is going to be the Giants' starting quarterback no sooner than 2019. That's another whole season and a month away. I've always believed that. I thought that was the logical and proper and smart move to make. If you're going to abide by that schedule, well, then there is no huge urgency to get Davis Webb meaningful snaps as you would like. I still believe I'd like to see him get in some maybe third or fourth quarters, potentially fourth quarter, should the situation arise, which is what John Mara's original plan was, and he was correct in doing that. I think his intent was absolutely on the money. Of course, things got twisted and convoluted, and it turned into a mess. But no, to me, the new GM and the new coach, much like when Dan Reeves was committed to Phil Sims in 1993, if the new GM and new coach are committed to Eli Manning for 2018, there is not a high impetus that says you've got to force feed Davis Webb right now. So I just don't see it.
See, here's where I will disagree, because you're going to have quarterbacks who are potential franchise quarterbacks in the draft where the Giants will be in a position to draft them that will be more highly rated than Davis Webb was coming out. I think you need to know if you should take one of those guys or just say, hey, you know, we got Eli for 2018. And I don't have a problem with that. I think Eli should be the starter next year, no matter what happens.
Right.
But I think if you're looking to the future, 2019, I think you want to know whether it's going to be Davis Webb or it's going to be Darnold or Rose or whoever is going to be out there who they think might be the best franchise guy going forward, no?
Well, Richard, I think the unknown quantity here is how much do you believe those folks who think these guys are franchise guys? Was Tim Couch a franchise guy? Was Ryan Leaf a franchise guy? Was DeMarcus Russell a franchise guy? You know, there's no lock about franchise guys. You need to believe what you see and believe in your assertiveness when you grade a guy, you deal with a guy, you are around a guy. And I would maintain that, and as I've said many times, I don't know if it's been on your show, the Giants have lived with Davis Webb on a daily basis for the last 6 months. They have an infinite amount of information, more on him than they do about these college prospects who are coming out, who, by the way, even though there are many people who think that they're going to be really good, I do know there is a scouting minority that thinks both of those two fellas at the top of the board should stay in school for at least another mm-hmm. year because they are not nearly ready for the pro game. And so, to me, I'd rather go with the guy that I know a lot more about than the guy who is a real Atlantic City roll of the dice. Mm-hmm. So, I'm just using logic there. Knowledge is a good thing. They know Davis Webb. They don't know these other guys.
Well, they've never seen Davis Webb in a real game. That's the point.
Have you seen those college quarterbacks in a real game?
No, but that's my point. You know.
Yeah, but they've lived with Davis Webb for 6 months. They know his demeanor. They know his work habits. They know his attitude. They know how he conducts himself. They see the knowledge he has soaked up from Eli Manning. They've watched him do some things over the course of practice. That's infinite more information than they have on these college kids who haven't even been out of a dormitory yet. Even close.
Okay, you have more information, but that doesn't mean that he's going to be your franchise guy.
Though, why would you turn your back on it?
Because these other guys might be better. You know, and again, there's no proving either one of our points. You know,
that's the great part. I just mentioned to a guy on Twitter to me. I said, hey, that's why they call guys prospects and not pros, because they're not a sure thing and they're not there yet.
But what do you accomplish having Eli Manning play these last games? What does that do?
Well, it does a couple things. First of all, it shows your team and your coaching staff and every player that's on that roster that you are giving them the best chance to put whatever they've got forward on tape in the final month of the season as they evaluate and figure out how much they've got to rip up or during the course of the off season. I think much like Boomer Esiason said the other day on Inside the NFL, the Giants are probably 3 or 4 tweaks away from being a contender again. We all thought across the board with the roster they had, this was going to be a Super Bowl contender this year. Okay. So it all went bad for a variety of reasons. The perfect storm hit and the ship sunk. We get all of that. Now, if they make the right 3 or 4 tweaks, much like the Vikings did, all of a sudden they're probably fighting for a 1, 2, or 3 seed in the conference next year. And if you believe in that possibility, then you've got to give this team and these coaches the best chance to win the rest of their games and to put the best stuff on the board, to feel good about themselves again. And Eli's got to be that guy.
Besides,
it's unfair to Davis Webb to put him in this situation and say, you got to go win these games. It's unfair to the coaches. It's unfair to his teammates.
Boy, I could not disagree more, Paul.
That's okay. You're allowed to.
I mean, it's a good debate, but I'm thinking, okay, you know, Eli's streak is broken. That's not coming back. And if he does not play, I'm not saying don't play him at all in the last four games, but you know, when we talk about best chances to win, so what? At this point, if you win two games, if you win four games, all you're doing is worsening your draft position.
Are you going to look Steve Spagnuolo and those coaches in the eye? You know, would you go to the stadium tomorrow, look those guys in the eye and say, so what? It doesn't matter if you win. Are you really want to do that? This guy is fighting for an opportunity to be considered for the job. Those coaches are fighting for an opportunity to be considered to stay. You can look them in the eye and say, oh, it's best that you start this young fellow who's never taken a snap in an NFL game, and that's going to give you the best chance to survive. How can you do that?
Okay, Paul, we're out of time. I will answer that after the break. I'm sorry we can't go back and forth on this, but I will answer that. I think it's totally wrong.
Not a problem, Richard. That's why okay. We all have opinions. It's okay.
And you know what opinions are, right?
I know. And the good news is neither one of us are paid to make those decisions.
That's right. And if we're wrong, we can still keep our jobs, hopefully.
Exactly.
Whereas if they're wrong.
Exactly.
See, and I wanted also to get into, you know, I've liked Gettleman for a while, and I think he might be a great fit here. And I'm just wondering, you know, we're kind of going overtime with you here, but I mean, are you hearing rumblings that he might be kind of in the lead for the GM job at this point?
I will say this to you, Richard. It's obvious that Dave Gettleman checks all the boxes of the requirements the Giants need of the new general manager. Okay. Especially when you consider that, Ernie Accorsi is helping John Mara with this search. And we know how Ernie Accorsi helped the Panthers in their search and recommended Gettleman as his first choice for them.
Yeah,
so
he only got them to the Super Bowl, so you know,
yes,
he's got a little bit of a resume there. Yeah.
So when you consider his resume, his qualifications, his checklist of abilities, plus the reference that Ernie is probably going to give him, it'd be hard-pressed if you're Las Vegas not to make him the favorite. The only thing you'd want to know, he's 66 years old. You'd want to know from Dave, do you have the energy, the fight, and the want to do this and to fix this thing as quickly as you can to turn it around and get this ship on the right direction? Maybe he says at 66, he's happy sitting on his back porch with a glass of wine. Maybe he doesn't want to do it.
Okay, well, that's something we'll have to find out. Thank you, Paul. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, Richard.